I hope the good Lord of heaven will keep you singing throughout 2012 as we begin this new year. I remember sitting back in the foyer about 11 years ago when we were discussing the beginning of the year 2000. At that time, some people prophesied that some bad things were going to happen in the turning of the year 2000. And now here we are in 2012. They say that time and tide waits for no man. And there never was a truer statement in the world than the fact that the clock of time doesn't wait for anyone. The wise man Solomon says there's a time to be born and a time to die. And there's a time to do this, and there's a time to be happy, and there's a time to be sad. And most of us, as we live our life, agree with Solomon, because you've had happiness, and you've probably had some sadness. And so as we strive along in this world, we understand that the Lord is going to return, we don't know when, and that we hope to be prepared for that home eternal, which is beyond the confines of this life. And that's one of the reasons you're here today on this, the first Lord's Day of this new year. And I hope that it is a good one for everyone. And I hope the Lord will continue to bless you. I want to speak for a while today on by faith when. By faith. I was talking to a man one time and he said, Hoagland, you don't believe we're saved by faith. I said, oh, yes, I do. I said, where we differ is by faith when. I said, you think we're saved by faith before we obey. And I believe the Bible teaches you're saved by faith when you obey. And I'm going to prove it today with the Bible. It's very plain. And so my subject is by faith when. It's not a matter of faith. It is a matter of by faith when you're saved. I told you in the class this morning that I can prove by the Bible that both faith and love have degrees. One of the unfortunate things of the Calvinistic world is that they believe that faith is static and that there's only one degree of faith. Wrong. There's several degrees of faith. O ye of little faith, woman great is thy faith. So you can go to the Bible and it abounds with examples of little faith and much faith and great faith. The same thing is true with love. You can have a little bit of love, or you can have great love. You don't want to ever get the idea that faith and love just have one degree. That's catastrophic, especially in the denominational world, and that's where they make their mistake. I believe we're saved by faith. But I believe that we are saved by faith when we obey God. And I'm going to read from Hebrews 11, which was read in your hearing a few moments ago. Hebrews is a great book. The Hebrews 11 is called Inspiration's Hall of Fame. And the writer of Hebrews gives us a long list of grand old patriarchs who served God by and through faith. And he tells us how they were saved by faith, and that's the way we're saved by faith. Listen to this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the assurance or evidence of things not seen. This translation says evidence, some say assurance, which basically means the same thing. You know, faith, the word faith is used basically in two senses in the Bible. It's used in the sense of the mental act of believing. When you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you give mental assent to that. You know, the eunuch was riding along with Philip. And Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. You remember what he said? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What did he mean? Well, he meant he gave mental assent to it. And certainly the word faith is used in that sense. It cannot be denied. But it is also used in what we commonly call the objective sense, where it refers to the New Testament in organized form. Jude says, contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. There it doesn't mean the mental act of believing, but the basis on which you believe, which is the Word of God or the gospel. And Paul said before to the Galatians, before faith came, we were bound, held under the law, or bound under the law of Moses. Before the faith came, he didn't mean the mental act of believing. He meant the system of faith. He meant the Word of God before the gospel came. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that that word faith is used in both the subjective and the objective sense, and the context has to show you which it means. Today we're discussing the mental act of believing, not the objective sense. And I can show you that in the text. He says, now faith, what kind of faith? Well, the mental act of believing, the trusting in the Lord, believing in the Lord. It is a substance. I know some translations say the title deed, and you have different translations saying different things. I like to think of faith as a substance. It's the foundation of things hoped for. You build a house, you have to have a foundation, and other things are built on the foundation. And I think here he is saying that before you can have hope, you've got to have faith. You've got to believe, because it is the substance, the foundation of things hoped for. And you cannot have that hope unless you have faith. And someone has said that God has married faith and hope, and I believe that. I believe they're inseparable. I don't believe you can have the hope of going to heaven unless you have faith. Absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. You know, Paul told the Thessalonians, brethren, that some people die without hope. But why do they die without hope? Well, they don't have any faith, because faith is the foundation of that hope. Now, I think most of you people in this audience have faith. You're a believer, and that's your foundation of hope. Well, what do you hope for? Well, you hope to go to heaven. That's why we're here today. We know we're not going to live forever. Therefore, we hope beyond the confines of this life that we can enjoy the blessings of heaven. And we all know, we're cognizant of the fact that we can't have that hope until we have faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. I think that's what the Hebrew writer is saying here. He said it is a foundation. You've got to have faith. And you've got to have enough faith to obey. And we'll discuss that in just a minute. And so what he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And hope means desire, expectation, as you very well know. And our one hope, as Paul mentions in Ephesians 4, when he says there's one hope, is the hope of going to heaven when we die. It takes precedence over all other hopes. He didn't mean you might hope to have a new house or a new car or a better suit or a better dress or a pair of shoes, or you could have hope for 1,000 different things. But that's not what Paul's talking about when he says there's one hope. He's talking about the hope of going to heaven when you die. That's the hope he's talking about, not these other hopes. Okay? And so what we have here is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen. You know, we sing a song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You've sung that song. Good song. And so he says here that it is the assurance of things not seen. Well, we like to have assurance in our lives with husband and wife, like to have assurance. Children like to have assurance from the parents. And we like to have assurance, and we do have assurance through faith of things not. But someone says, what does he mean, things not seen? Well, what is it that you haven't seen? Well, no man has seen God at any time, I know that, and you haven't seen Jesus yet, and yet the Bible says that ever I shall see him as he is, and although I haven't seen him, I haven't seen Jesus. I admit that. I haven't seen Jesus. Now, some people did while he was here. But I haven't seen Jesus, but I have the assurance that I'm going to what? I have the assurance through faith that one of these days I'll see him. Well, matter of fact, the Bible says that every eye shall see him as he is. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see Jesus one of these days. You haven't seen him yet. What else haven't you? Well, you haven't seen heaven. And yet the Bible says we're going to go to heaven if we live right when we die. And you haven't seen it, but it's the assurance that it's there. What is it? What gives you that assurance? Faith. That's our subject. Faith. Faith gives you that assurance that heaven is lying up there waiting for you if you serve the Lord. And so verse 1 is a beautiful verse, strong, powerful verse, provocative in every way. And then he says, for by it, that is by this mental, by this faith, he says, the elders obtained a good report. Now the elders here, presbyteros, here again is a word used in two senses. Now I told you that faith is used in two senses. I maintain that presbyteros is used in two senses. First of all, it's used in the sense of just the older men, old men. As a matter of fact, your lexicons even say that. But it also refers to officers in the church. So the context will show you whether it's talking about just the older patriarchs, older men, or whether it's talking about officers in the church. Now, Paul gives qualifications of elders in the church to Timothy. Now, they're called elders too. But there it's not necessarily just referring to old men, although age is a factor in it. There he's talking about officers in the church. And so when he says here, by faith the elders obtained a good report, he's not talking about officers in the church. He's talking about these grand old patriarchs, which he mentions here in this chapter. And he mentions several. And he said, what kind of report did they have? Well, he says they have a good report. A good report about what? About the way they serve God. And he said, I'm going to tell you about them. And so we understand that certain words do have dual meanings. Even diakonos, which refers to deacon, has a dual meaning. It means one who serves, but yet it means an officer sometimes. A deacon can be an officer in the church too. And so diakonos, deacon, has dual meanings. Presbyteros has dual meanings. Faith has dual meanings. You've got to know these things when you study your Bible. And that helps you to understand what it's really saying. It opens up an avenue through the what we call hermeneutics to understand the Bible. Now, through faith we understand. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Through what? Through faith. Remember, that's our subject. Believing. Believing in God, believing in Jesus. But it's through this faith we understand something. You know what understand means. Sometimes you say, do you understand me? Or do you understand the problem? Well, I know what you mean by that. And so he uses that word here, and he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, where does faith, how do you get faith? Well, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, through the teaching of the will of God, you understand something. But what is it you understand? You understand how that this world came into existence on which you're living right now. As you said in this audience, and as it's turning upon its axis, this earth and this world. Of course, he uses the plural worlds because the cosmos includes more than just this earth. As you very well know, we have stars and sun, moon, and satellites and all that. And God made all of it. But he also made this little old earth on which we live. And I'm happy. I'm glad that I'm on this earth, and I'm glad that God fixed it so that I can breathe oxygen and that he wrapped it around. And I'm glad that the seasons come and that so we can raise food so we can eat and not starve to death. And he gives us the sunshine and the rain, and he gives us harvest and grain. And I'm glad that God did that, because I know that I couldn't survive and you couldn't survive without this. But we have to give all the credit to God. All the credit to God. We may take it for granted, but I want to tell you the fact that this earth revolves around the sun once a year and gives us our seasons. So you don't know maybe how important that is. And if that didn't happen, we couldn't live. We couldn't live. And so we're whirling out here in space at 1,000 miles an hour at the equator on this little old earth, and we give the praise to God today. The glory to God that we even survive physically. He deserves it all. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Someone says, Preacher, what's your position on how the world came into existence? Well, through faith, I understand they were made by God, by His Word. So you believe that? Oh, yes, I believe it. Then you don't believe that this earth came into existence by cosmic chance. No. I believe it came into existence by God making it. But upon what basis do you believe that? Through faith. But how did your faith come? Well, it came from reading the Genesis account of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Someone says, then you believe that. That's the way you understand how the worlds were framed. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I believe. Through faith, we understand how this earth came into existence. Someone says, but what about an infidel that doesn't believe the Bible? Then he can't say that. He has to concoct some other theory about how it came into existence, because he doesn't do it through faith. He doesn't have any faith. So he can't say, well, through faith, I understand that God made the world. He has to concoct some other theory about how this earth came into existence. That's all he can say. If you don't believe in God and don't walk by faith, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God, so if you didn't believe the Word of God, you wouldn't understand what he said here. But if you believe the Word of God, then you understand what he said, and you understand that the worlds came into existence by the Word of God. Through what, though? Through faith. How did faith come? It came because of the Bible. You see how simple that is? The stair steps. And that's all he's saying here in this text. We're just bleeding the text and seeing exactly what it says, because that's important in Bible study. Now, what else does he say? Well, he says by faith. Now he gets into these elders. He gets into these grand old patriarchs, and the first one he mentions is Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a good report, obtained witness that he was righteous. He obtained witness from God and others. Now, Cain and Abel, you're all familiar with Cain and Abel. But while we're studying them, we have to keep in mind by faith when, and our subject is faith, and by faith when. When did Abel obtain witness that he was righteous? And when did God testify his gifts? Testify of his gifts. Well, it says in the text, when he offered, that verb offered, by faith he offered. You notice these men, the verbs are followed by we might call it a verb of action. I guess we could call it that, because he did something, but he didn't receive the testimony of God that he was righteous until his faith obeyed. By faith, Abel obeyed, and when he obeyed or offered, actually unto God, a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, when he offered, that's when he received the testimony of God that he was righteous. So when does faith save? It saves when it obeys. Someone says, well, I believe Abel received this testimony that he was righteous before he did this. Well, you haven't read your Bible, and you don't believe your Bible. Someone says, but he had faith before he offered. That's correct. But did he receive the testimony of God that he was righteous the moment he believed? No. He received the testimony of God that he was righteous when he obeyed. And that's why these preachers that get out here and preach you're saved by faith only are just as wrong as they can be. We're saved by faith, all right, but we're not saved by faith only. Matter of fact, James pretty well settles that in James 2:27 when he says, you see then how that by works a man is justified not by faith only. He pretty well settled that. And so I want to tell you, neighbor, I believe we're saved by faith. I believe that. But by faith when? when we obey. Let's read on. Now, Abel, remember, I need to mention this briefly. Someone says, well, wait a minute, preacher. Since faith comes by hearing the word of God, where did Abel get this information that he needed to offer a bloody sacrifice? From his daddy. Patriarchy means father. It's a father religion. God spoke to Adam and he told him how to teach his boys. And he called those two boys in. He said, boys, come in here. I need to talk to you. Cain, you sit down here. Abel, you sit down here. I want to tell you boys something. Now, we're going to try to please God in our worship. And in order to please God, when you offer your sacrifice, it's got to have blood in it. It's got to have blood in it. Now, there's other things you can offer, but if they do not have blood, God won't accept them. Cain, do you understand that? Yes, sir. Abel, how about you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Father, I understand it. Well, now, you boys go out there and worship God. Abel listened to his daddy and obeyed, and Cain didn't. That's just the way some folks are today. They do what they want to do. Cain said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to order the fruit of my field, and I believe that it's worth just as much as Abel's offering. Now, he went out there and got a lamb, and he went out there and he killed something with blood in it, and he offered it to the Lord. But I think my sacrifice is just as good, and so I'm going to substitute. And he got into all kind of trouble. And that's what people do today. They think they know as much as God. Even if Cain didn't understand why God wanted blood in it. And at that time they didn't. It was pointing to the blood of Jesus, really. Now, I know that retrospectively now because I know that. But Cain didn't know that, and neither did Abel. But Abel says, God tells me to do this, and I'm going to do it. I don't understand why I have to offer this kind of animal or blood, but I'm going to do it. I don't understand it, but I'm still going to do it. Is that your attitude? You may not understand everything about the worship service, but if God tells you to do it, you better do it. He says to observe the Lord's Supper. Leroy mentioned this, you remember a while ago in Acts 27. We're to observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and God tells us to do it. You may not understand why he wants it done on Sunday. You may not understand that. But even if you don't understand it, if you walk by faith, what are you going to do? You're going to be here and observe the supper on the first day of the week. You're going to be just like Abel. And you're going to obey him. And you're going to do what the Lord says. There are a lot of things you may not fully understand about what God has told you to do. But it doesn't make any difference whether you understand why. All you have to do is understand what he told you to do. Abel knew that what blood was. And he knew that only animals had blood. That wheat and rye and oats and have no blood. And he knew that, and therefore he did what? He walked by faith. And what happened? The Lord approved him. But he didn't approve of Cain. Because Cain didn't obey. Cain's like a lot of folks in Boonville and everywhere else. They just do what they want to in religion. They don't pay any attention to what God says. They couldn't care less as long as it pleases them. And what Cain did pleased him, but it didn't please God. And they've got to get that through their heads. You're here to please God. You're not here to please yourself. You're here to please God. See that point? Now, listen to this. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. Harry Rimmer wrote a book called Dead Men Tell Tales, and he was dealing with archaeology, what they dig up with a pick and shovel, and confirm biblical inspiration. Here it says that he's dead, and yet he's still talking. Of course, Cain and Abel both are talking. Abel's still talking, and so is Cain. They're still talking to us. As a matter of fact, he's talking to all of us this morning. Abel is still talking to us. He's dead. Someone said, but he's dead, but he still talks. That's right. Well, what's he saying? He says, walk by faith and do what God says and not what you want to do. What does Cain say? Well, he says, I made the fatal mistake of doing what I wanted to do instead of what God said. Now I'm in trouble. That's what he's speaking. That's what he's saying to you. He says, I learned the hard way that you better do what God says. And I hope you don't have to learn it the hard way to do what God says. Not what you want. Not what people want or what's politically correct. You do what God says. You do what God says. Now, let me... By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Enoch went from grace to glory without having to die. I guess, in a sense, all of us may envy Enoch just a little bit. Yeah. What a blessing it would be to just not die, but you just pass from grace to glory, go on to be with the Lord. And you wouldn't have to go through the bitter dregs of death. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. That's the appointment. But Enoch escaped it. He's the exception to the rule. And he did it by faith. Why? Because he walked with God. Notice, by faith, Enoch walked. There's your verb of action. Walked with God. When was he translated? When he obeyed God by walking with God. If you walk with God, you allow God to lead. Abel offered. Enoch walked. Abraham obeyed. You see all of those verbs? And so by faith, when were these people saved? They were saved when they obeyed God. Now let me tell you something. I want to close with Mark 16:15-16. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Okay. What did God tell you to do? He told you to be baptized. But faith precedes baptism. He said, he that believes. So when you have enough faith to be baptized, you have enough faith to be saved. You may have a degree of faith before you're baptized, but if it's not strong enough to impel you to do what God says, you don't have enough faith to be saved. By faith when? When you obey. And remember that. We're saved by faith, all right. But we're saved by faith when we obey God. Look at the patriarchs. If you're here today and subject to the invitation, you need to be baptized. You need to renew your allegiance unto God through repentance. We just hope and pray you'll come because God wants you saved, and we certainly want you to save. We hope you'll come. Shall we stand and sing our invitation song?